a big challenge for somebody being in data culture, because you need to have immediate actions and things happening now, because to get people excited and really have the engagement. At the same time, you have long-term strategic goals that you want to follow and that you want to go through.
Hello and welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. I'm Carsten Bange, founder and CEO of Bark, and my guest today is Stefanie Babka. She has been here 3 years ago, since she is a real pioneer in adopting and improving data culture in organizations. We talk about how things have changed over time, developing from data to data and AI culture over the last 2 years. We hear how she got a phenomenal rating of 80% of Merck employees that say they are excited for data and AI, and only 7% say they are skeptical. I think that's a great testament to Steffi's work in promoting the culture for data and AI in her organizations. We get some updates what changed over the last years. For example, how she adapted the upskilling efforts to the executives, but also to the domains. Or we hear about how she improves agility in the data culture team also, for example, to handle change like the omnibus legislation now around the EU AI Act. So a lot to learn how Steffi won the head, the heart, and the hurt, as she puts it. Enjoy the episode. Hi, Steffi.
Hi, Carsten.
Great to have you back. It's your second time in the Data Culture Podcast, and so much has happened since our first time. It was actually September 2022. Can you believe that?
Yes, it's a long time, and I think it's such a difference to today's world, because September 2022 was 2 months before, or almost 3 months before ChatGPT went live, and what, the world is a different place.
That's true. And data and analytics is true. Now we call it data and AI, since so much happened. And we even renamed our data culture framework to the data and AI culture framework, because so much is happening in the AI world. And obviously, that also depends on success in culture. The cultural change in the organization is also in AI the definite enabler or foundation to make it successful. So what happened at Merck during that time?
Yes, to put it short, I mean, I'm in this position as global head of data culture since beginning of 2021, I think. And what has made the difference for me was actually in the beginning, I was pulling at the people. I was trying to get them into the topic, talking about data, importance of data governance, and so on. And this tipping point of ChatGPT going live really was that all of a sudden people were pulling at me, and they wanted to come and I wanted to understand more. And that's for me, there was a mindset shift. And of course, they were talking about the fancy new AI world, but AI is nothing without good data. So for me, it was a great opportunity to also bring in those very important data topics into the Merck sphere.
Yeah, so like AI was a carrier to also advance data in the organization. I think many organizations saw that. I also saw many organizations that tried to implement or set up AI separately from data and data and analytics. I think Merck went a different way. My impression was that you early on integrated AI, took the leadership at one of the data festivals. Some of your colleagues presented the internal Gen AI system that you were using. I think one of the first companies in Germany here. So is that the right impression, that you basically combined data and AI very early on?
Yes, for us, it was always something that needs to be looked at together. That's why we also have a group data and AI strategy. And we actually were in contact with OpenAI before they were launching ChatGPT and when they launched. So we were already testing out our own internal chatbots and so on. So we were just shortly after able to also give trainings on ChatGPT usage and give guardrails on how to use it well. And we came live with our own internal tool, which we call MyGPT. So the first version we had internally, I think in Easter after the launch, and then on the 1st of June in 2023, we launched it to the company. And this was actually a game changer for us. I always say, you can't learn how to swim if you don't jump into the water. And it's so important for people to be able to jump into the water and to really test it out. We really wanted to make sure, also from an AI governance perspective, that people don't go into a tool that is not governed by us and using our internal data. So that's why we wanted to create this safe and secure space on our own environment where they can use those AI tools, but also with our confidential internal data, and really make the best out of it for Merck. And that was an important step for us to open their imagination to what can be possible with AI.
Yeah, and I think that was a very good move early on. Many others followed, also created these internal ones, because, I mean, one of the biggest concerns is obviously what happens with your data. Yeah, does it flow to the LLMs, to the US? Will it be used for training and so on? So you were a first mover in a way in the Gen AI adoption. What happened since then? That was then June 23. Now it's 2 years later, 2.5 years later. How do you advance AI topics? What's basically your setup and also your approach today?
So our data culture approach is that we have a very simple framework. We want to win the head, the heart, and the heart. So the head, so that people can work with data and AI. The heart, that they also want to work with data and AI, and the herd, so that they actually also do it and it becomes a joint behavior in the teams, in the business, so that they're working with data and AI. And the herd is maybe the strongest change agent you can have, because if people are applying it daily, that's something that can really move the needle. And we see now with MyGPT, which we now call MyGPT Suite, as it's more a collaboration tool today, is that more than half of the population of Merck is using it on a regular basis. So it's actually the most used non-mandatory tool at Merck, with 34,000 monthly active users in a population of 62,000 employees at Merck. So, and more than 52,000 have tried it out. So I guess we even reached everybody with a PC. Maybe, I don't know if it's everybody, but our whole addressable market, maybe. And so people are excited about the topic. And I was also super happy to see we just received our employee engagement survey results. And as I said, we want to win the head, the heart, and the herd. So the head is all about upskilling. And we saw that 64% of Merck employees say that they feel equipped with the right skills to work with data and AI, which is a great result from my perspective. And for winning the heart, we had one question, which was, I'm looking forward to what's coming with data and AI. And there we also saw that 77%, almost 80% of our employees are excited, are all in for the topic, which is, I think, an amazing result. We also have people that are skeptical. It's 7%. The overall, people that we see, they're excited. And this is how we basically also have a whole data culture battle plan set up. As I said, the winning the head, the heart, and the herd. So we, with the head, we have a lot of upskilling offers for different personas in different maturity levels. For winning the hearts, we do have the tools that we provide them, but also additional fun activities. We make it fun to work with data and AI, to learn about it. And for the herd, we also have a lot of community sessions and possibilities for people to engage in different also maturity levels. So a community for everyone using this MyGPT tool, but also a community that is, for example, the Data Science Garage for our experts and so on. And this is how we have set it up in the meantime.
Excellent. Sounds really good. And you also presented this framework at the Data Culture Summit, which you gratefully hosted. So really thank you for that. And also there you started a movement in a way. So we will be in April 26, we will be at Böhringer Ingelheim. So they volunteer to host the next Data Culture Summit. So it looks like you as first host could really start also a movement to bring not only data culture people in the organization together, but also across organizations, which I think is also super important to exchange experiences and see what other companies are doing and learn from each other.
Yeah, that's super exciting. And I found it also very interesting that with this whole discussion, now I'm going to the topic that we also said we want to cover later, the AI governance topic, this whole discussion about the omnibus and the new setup of the AI governance is also looking into more collaboration between the different countries on the topic of AI literacy. And I think that's what we already doing on a company level. We try to help each other out in really finding ways to become better, to train our people on AI, because this is, for me, AI literacy is not something that is only a company topic. It's a society topic. It's something that we need to bring into our schools, into our university, in our total education system, so that somebody who studies something like medicine comes out with a general knowledge about data governance and about AI literacy and governance. So that's, I think, a super important topic overall.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And talking about that, what do you do inside Merck, to advance AI, to make it more accessible, to raise the knowledge about it? I think you mentioned Everyday AI as one initiative. That sounded super interesting to me.
Yeah, so that's two answers to this question. So the first one, what do we do with AI in Merck? So we actually democratize AI with making it available through MyGPT Suite, but also other consumable AI tools. And we also enable people to not only use it as a chatbot, it's also a platform for them to create their own assistants. So in the ChatGPT world, it would be GPTs that they can create, set up, and have their own little AI solution that they can use for their own use case. So this is one thing we do. We democratize it. And on the AI governance topic, what we looked into is how can we give our employees a better guidance on what to do with AI, because we have three types of AI products at Merck. So the first one is things that we build ourselves. The second one is things that we buy. Could be a normal software that some has maybe an additional feature or with AI or something like this. And the third one, and that's the one that sometimes keeps me up at night, is the AI tools that people bring to work. So in a premium version, or they pay it themselves, or they pay it with a company credit card. So something that is not really steered by procurement processes and not steered by us in our overall use case portfolio logic. So, and this is something where we said, what do we do with this? Because we are a science and technology company. For us, our knowledge is super crucial. It's our competitive advantage. At the same time, we have a lot of scientists. They're so curious. They want to try things out. And we also don't want to prevent them from trying things out. So what we went for is, we went for an AI governance that enables people to try things out, but also gives them guardrails and an understanding of how they should do it. For example, we do have a pop-up if you go to a tool that is not internally allowed, for example, Perplexity. People can go there. They will be even allowed to enter the page. But what happens is they get a pop-up saying, so you're going to a page that is not a Merck internal tool. Please consider using this tool, and this is how you can use it in a Perplexity style. And you're actually being redirected to an overview that we have in our intranet, and that's the whole Everyday AI campaign that you just mentioned. But we flipped it around. We said we don't want to talk about what people are not allowed to do. We want to enable them to know how to do it compliant. So we have a campaign that is an internal intranet page that is having it looks like a flower, and in the middle it's I want to, and then you see all of the different leaves of the flower. You see, I want to translate, I want to research, I want to whatever. And each of those use cases has a bunch of tools that you can use to do it. Like, for example, for translation, we have different tools that you can use. You can use our MyGPT for a simple translation, but there's also one tool where you can upload the whole document and download it in another language and something like this. And with this, we drive people to the compliant use because they can be sure that this is always the latest information, and they can be sure that when they have a use case that they find whatever tool is needed there to use it. And this is how we have set it up. And then, of course, we do have the, what you have in every company, those boring legal documents. We call it the Group AI Standard, 17 pages of legal written text that we provide them. But we also have this campaign. We also have, we call it Kickstarter sessions, so that those are on a very regular basis. I think every 2 weeks we're hosting sessions where we basically walk people through this flower and the different use cases, every time different ones. And then we talk about the tools, but also different assistants that are available, because, as I said, we democratize AI with those assistants that they can create. And some of them are just your personal assistants, but there are also some assistants that are group-wide. For example, we have one that is searching our intranet, which is very popular because people love to find things there. And this is how we have basically set up this whole Everyday AI campaign. And the theme of the campaign is, and that's basically because Walid Mehana, our chief data and AI officer, he came from Mercedes, just like I did, actually. And he, when we talked about how do we want to talk about this whole thing, he said, I love the cars. And do you remember at Mercedes, this the fastest cars, the AMG line, they have the biggest brakes. And that's why we should talk about us being able to go fast by having a good brake. And this is what we sell also in this campaign. So we have a car in the campaign we give people that whole picture of them being allowed to use it, this car, on a test track without real Mac data, and even using different tools to try things out. But once they're on the street, they have to really comply with the rules of the street, and they have to know how to drive safely. And yeah, that's how we set it up.
Interesting, for sure. That leads me to another question. Having to move fast, I think, is one important aspect in data and AI, and it's really sometimes a breathtaking speed how things develop. Yeah? On the other hand, there is this need for compliance, documentation, and so on. How do you in general handle that? Yeah, I think it's always a balance everyone needs to find. I just wonder how you maybe have found a way to balance this.
Yeah, so what we did is we wanted to have as few disruptions to the process of innovating and getting started with AI as possible. And as I just mentioned, there are those two possible ways or AI tools that you can have. So what you build and what you buy. And what we did was we looked into both processes and sneaked into the processes. We enabled an AI flag in those two systems where we have the AI use cases flagged. And we have a very short assessment that you can do also AI assisted with a little assistant asking you questions. It takes you 2 to 5 minutes, really super fast, to answer the questions and being rated. And of course, we only have to look into high-risk use cases, which in our case are things that have to do with medical devices or HR processes, employee topics that could be critical enough to be eligible for a high-risk use case, or maybe in a critical infrastructure sometimes. But it's really only a few use cases of the use cases we have that are in high risk. And for all of the others, where we might only have, for example, systemic risks, we have a very generic governance that you can follow, and you don't have so many obligations. We have actually boiled down our governance to a simple, so we have this 17 pages document, but we have a one pager that is a simple acronym, and we call it HUMAN, where we have the five things that are most important for us accumulated. So with H is for human in the loop, it's for having always the human in the driver's seat. The second one, the U, is for unlock transparency. So we really want to be sure to be as transparent as possible. And for example, don't trick people into thinking something is a real person when it's really an AI. For example, if you have a chatbot or an avatar talking. And then we have M for managing AI responsibly. And this is for us to really put it into a repository, rank it for the high risk or whatever risk level. Then we have the A for assessing the always using it safely. So and assessing any data privacy or concerns and so on. And this is all about this. Don't use Merck data in anything else than in Merck approved tools. And the last one is actually the N for nurturing ethical use of data and AI, because we also have a code of digital ethics. And as you know, we are dealing with data that is actually patient data and medical data. And we really want to make sure that we apply the most, the highest ethical standards that you can ever have for those.
Very interesting. So this transparency, flagging use cases as high risk, that all sounds like EU AI Act or requirements in a way. So is obviously that's your way or part of the way to implement it. Are there other notable ways or things you implemented to comply with this act?
So for the Act, that's, those are basically the things that we wanted to have to be able to have the overview. The second thing, as you know, that also became applicable beginning of this year is the topic of AI literacy. So what we're also doing for the first time, and I was against it for a long time. We are rolling out an mandatory training. We have a very short one. It's 15 minutes, basically. Mandatory training for all employees on the topic of data and AI. And it's basically talking about this everyday AI campaign and those human rules that I was just talking about. And so that's one thing that we do in addition for the EU AI Act. What will come next, and I think many companies are also in that process, is of course we have that standard, and we now need to look into how do we go further when we have those high-risk use cases. So we need procedures on how to bake it into whatever kind of use case process, and also look into the life cycle when you, for example, think about those features with AI popping up in any software that you have bought 3 years ago. So we need to make sure to also track this and have a regular process to find those additional features and be able to flag them in the system. And also what we want to do is we want to have internal audits on it so that we can check how compliant we are and look into those topics. So those are things that we're currently doing. We are now happy that we might have more time than we had thought, because there are currently the discussions in the EU that it might be later than expected. However, we are happy that we set it up, because most of the things, as we created them in a way that it's not such a big burden, it's not hindering us in anything that we do. And it's actually for us also a good overview. And we also have we are the central Merck data and AI organization. For us, it's also good to have that overview about what's happening in the businesses. So Merck has three very distinct sectors with life science, healthcare, electronics, and we have our enabling functions. And for us, it's a good overview also to see where we are in the different areas. And of course, we have a whole use case process, and we have also a framework on how to, for example, measure the value of a use case and so on. But having this repository really makes a difference for us, especially for the bot AI tools, because this is something we didn't really have on the radar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds like it. You mentioned the changes. Is it a challenge to implement all that now you have an existing pretty big frameworks, you have reach outs, you have a big team of people. How do you handle that?
Yeah, so this is definitely a challenge, because what we do, and especially in the data culture team, it's something that you would call change management, but the normal change management frameworks like ATCA or whatever you can get from ProSci or whatever, they're looking at typically some kind of waterfall thing that is happening. And we have an infinite change and development happening in this at the speed of light, super fast. So what we did, and I'm really happy that we have that set up in general for our data and analytics ecosystem, we're working with a scaled agile framework. It's called SAFe. And we do have a, it's basically a set of rules that you have, or a rhythm where you meet with different agile teams and you do a joint planning and you look into dependencies between the different streams and so on. And we apply the same framework for our data culture activities. So we have one data culture team in this agile release train, and it helps us a lot to also apply it to the changes that we see that are applicable for our trainings, our materials, and so on. Which is, for example, if our new our tools have new features, for example, if Tableau has a new license management that we do or whatever. And so it's about the products, so the different features in the products, but also if we have different trends outside of Merck that become more important, like, I don't know, now at the moment it's MCP, for example, that you want to try to build into, or now we have a new agentic framework for us, how we want to set those things up at Merck. And also the whole, there's a lot happening politically at the moment, as you know. So there are new things happening in the European Union, in the US, different things. So, and all of those changes we can accompany by this, by having this framework and the constant review with those agile. It's basically, it's a set of habits when you meet. And this helps us a lot to really keep those things current.
Interesting. At the Data Culture Summit, you also mentioned that you changed, or you had some new ideas around upskilling and trainings and how that evolved. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that as well.
Yes. So there's one trend that we saw happening, and because of this topic of AI becoming more and more important, and also even world leaders like Donald Trump and leaders of countries are looking into the topic. Of course, also of our senior executives are very keen on learning more about it and understanding the strategic framework behind it. That's why one thing that we have set up now is, and we had offered this also slightly, but we have put a lot more emphasis on it now, is to have executive trainings and executive mentoring options for senior executives to also have that big picture. We used to have manager trainings for a long time that were also that they're focused on enabling your team for this whole data and AI transformation, setting it up, and how to be a data owner as a leader of a team and being responsible for this. And the executive upskilling, it really takes even more of a bird's eye view. This is really about enabling your organization to look into this change and being a data domain owner, and how to bring your data, how to set up your data strategy within your organization so that you have the right data in place to have it actionable for AI agents. And not only the data is important, but also the processes to be able to have an agent on it. And this is something that we set up and we see that is evolving. And the second thing that we see evolving is actually that people are more and more interested also in more domain-specific upskilling. This is something that we're currently not covering so much, because we do those generic trainings, and we already achieved this mindset of people wanting to do more. But of course, they have their specific domain-specific tools and data that they want to leverage and want to really go one level down and really double down on what can be done for their day-to-day business. So this is something we're currently looking into how to implement, because that's something that unfortunately doesn't really scale so easily, because you need experts and evangelists in those domains. And you can maybe cluster some things, like you can have a domain like, for example, R&D or commercials or something like this, but in the end it's really very specific in this domain, so very deep down in the business.
Yeah, so could we say that your upskilling initiatives are moving up in terms of hierarchy and moving down in terms of being more specific? So both ways?
I wouldn't say down, because that would mean the business is down. That's not it's below the general one, but it's becoming more of a reaching really everybody in what we call the spokes in the business teams. It's becoming broader. It's becoming and then also deeper.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you mentioned domain specific. So make it more applicable for certain domains, not so general. Yeah, very good. And this evolvement of data culture now to data and AI culture over the last 3 years, 3-4 years, you are active. Are there lessons learned you want to share with us? Is there anything we didn't mention yet?
Yeah. So one thing that I learned was because of that hype of AI, we were very early on also with providing enablement materials for people to go and just enable their, for example, their spokes, so that the people in the business. And what we saw there is that it's very hard to have a good governance on this because people were only talking about the bright side of AI and those maybe uncomfortable truths. Mm-hmm. Like you're not allowed to upload copyrighted documents, or you're not allowed to do certain things because it's maybe not something that can be sustained. That's things that they left out in those trainings. So we saw that the training quality was not high enough because all those enablement sessions that people did also to maybe ideate use cases, they sometimes went into an uncompliant direction. Mm-hmm. And that's how we discussed how can we make sure that those people that are so enthusiastic about the topic and are so great multipliers can be steered in a better way. So that's one thing we're currently looking into, to have a train-the-trainer concept so that they also really have some kind of certification and a better strategic understanding of the tool, because of course everybody that tried AI now and did a couple of use cases now has the feeling that they are an AI expert, so but it's not the case sometimes, right? Because they don't really get the insights behind it, and that's why we want to have this as a better service from the data culture team to really give them the training but also give them an outlook on what's happening, because of course the tool landscape is also super fast, and give them the confidence to really do this in a more professional manner.
Yeah, sounds interesting. And I think it goes a little bit back to the agility topic we just mentioned. Yeah, so it sounds a little bit like you need the momentum first. Yeah, you need the people, you need more and more people to also spread the word. But then at some point, yeah, you need to also care for documentation, governance, that things are done right. But I like the spirit, yeah, that you stop yourself by thinking all about these things, but start and then see that it's done in a compliant way. Would that be a good summary?
Yes, definitely.
Excellent. We are at the end of our time. Unfortunately, it feels like we could talk for much, much longer, but I'm looking forward to seeing you in April at Böhringer. So that's definitely a great chance, I think, to exchange and hear the latest from you. But now as a summary, maybe, and maybe also an outlook, I think that could also be interesting. Where do you see data and AI culture today? And also, where do you see it moving? What are the next things on your agenda? You already mentioned a few, but is there anything else? What are you thinking about how things are evolving in the next, I'm not saying 3 years, very hard to guess, but let's say in the next month.
As I said, I'm very happy on where we stand at Merck. So we see, and that's so cool about having started several years ago, because when I started, I thought, oh my God, this is really something that won't happen overnight. You really need to be consistent and have to work on things. And it's always a big challenge for somebody being in data culture, because you need to have immediate actions and things happening now, because to get people excited and really have the engagement. At the same time, you have long-term strategic goals that you want to follow and that you want to go through. I think one of the biggest challenges for anyone in data culture going forward is the challenge of really transforming the way we lead. So preparing the leaders of your organization to be able to delegate tasks to different So either to an AI collaborated a team, or so a team where you have augmented intelligence with human intelligence and AI incorporated, or sometimes it can be even halfway autonomous intelligence, mm-hmm. or it could be assisted intelligence. So when do you do a task assisted by AI? When do you augment it with AI? When do you automate? And all of those discussions also on when do you really need AI? That's also because it's so hyped. So sometimes you don't, and simple rule-based automation would do the trick. Yeah. Sometimes it's even a lot more secure to do something which cannot hallucinate. So when do you go for something deterministic, non-deterministic? That's going to be a big challenge to set up good a good leader's practice going forward, because that's in this very agile world that we have. Now we're moving from VUCA to Barney, so it's everything's happening at a speed of light, and we really want to make sure people are equipped to equip their employees to go forward with this. So this is basically the biggest thing for the next month and years.
Excellent. I wish you all the best with that. Knowing you, I'm sure you will master it and will be leading the data culture community also on this topic. And with that, thank you again, Stephanie. It was really great, great insights. And thanks again for sharing that with our community. And I can only say see you soon.
Thank you so much, Carsten. And thank you for keeping the flag up also with the Data Culture Summits now with Böhringer. I'm really excited about the opportunity to be there because it's always so much that we can learn from others.
Absolutely. April 23rd is the day, and I see you there. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.